Lady Gaga is performing at the TD Garden tonight, and yes, it is a sold-out show. But if she has her way, Lady Gaga, also known as Stephanie Joanne Angelina Germanotta, will soon have a more permanent crash pad in Massachusetts. She's been searching for a getaway on Martha's Vineyard. That news has inspired these thoughts from Boston Globe's arts reporter, Jeff Edgers.
I can see the housewarming party now. It's a warm night on the vineyard. Just off Dyke Road, the cars are lined up. Everybody's there. Jim Belushi and Dan Aykroyd in those annoying black suits as they test Blues Brothers 2012 in the crowd in the cavernous living room. Bill Murray, Long Island iced tea in hand, cornering Kate Taylor, who desperately waits for Evan Dando to rescue her. Naturally, he's in the bathroom. And then the grand MC herself, the mistress of the meat bikini.
I wanna hold them like they do in Texas, please. Fold them, let them hit me, raise it, baby, stay with me.
I love it.
Lady Gaga descends the staircase glittering like a new style Gatsby. Partway down, she pauses, flips David McCullough the bird, they love that stuff, and gazes over at the saltwater jacuzzi. Then, the surprise. In my fantasy, with a quick whistle, Gaga signals it's time for her other guests, her real people, to enter. They begin to filter in through the enormous glass doors. These are the workers, the gritty islanders who serve the bold and the beautiful. Call it Gaga's revenge. Why do I like the idea of an island invasion by this former Catholic schoolgirl? The vineyard likes to feel exclusive. You got the rich and fake tan summer residents, and you've got the others, the people who serve them. And while the rich and famous might think they know what they're getting into, I have a hunch they haven't done their research. Gaga's rich, but she's also a dangerous kind of rich. She's a rebel who grew up without much money. I imagine her move to Chappie is Trading Places 2, vineyard style. Maybe she read last year's story in the London Telegraph, The Dark Side of Martha's Vineyard. It detailed what life is like for the island's real people. Depression, alcoholism, drug abuse, domestic violence. They have hard lives. So Gaga reportedly throws down $2 million on a lot in Edgartown, no doubt enjoying getting back at the elites. I think about her fantastic showing at Citi Field last summer. Gaga went to the new $600 million home of the Mets and stripped down to her underwear. She spent the seventh inning of the game cursing out photographers. Even nice guy Jerry Seinfeld called her a jerk. Is it too far-fetched to imagine her disrupting the peace of the Black Dog? But let's get back to my fantasy. After that whistle, it's kind of like a scene from Fame. All sorts of action as Gaga's ragtag band of misfits stream into the party. They push a gazillionaire sporting his Wind Power Killed My View t-shirt away from the punch bowl. They grab an hors d'oeuvre from a Hollywood environmentalist twice cited for violating the Wetlands Protection Act. Somebody shouts party and a Queen record kicks over the sound system. I look back at the staircase and there's Gaga, the puppet master. And she's laughing. Her arrival on the island is complete.
We just like the party, like to pop-pop-party, yeah. Bang, bang. We're beautiful and dirty rich,
beautiful. Bang,
Jeff Edgers is the arts reporter for the Boston Globe.
We're beautiful and dirty rich,
And we promised you a little earlier that we'd play a little bit of the president's speech at Tech Boston Academy. He's speaking right now, and here's a little bit of that.
Every day, Tech Boston is proving that no matter who you are, or what you look like, or where you come from, every child can learn. Every child can succeed. And every child deserves that chance. Getting the best possible education has never been more important than it is right now. And that's because in today's world, a good job requires a good education. I travel all across the country. I go into factories. I go into companies. And it doesn't matter where you are working. If you do not have a good education, you are not going to be able to succeed.
And that's President Obama speaking live at the Tech Boston Academy in Dorchester. And we'll have more on the president's visit later in just a few moments on All Things Considered. But before we go today, a quick item about well-being and where people are happiest in the U.S.
That's right. A telephone survey conducted by the Gallup polling company called the Gallup Healthways Well-Being Index asked people in all 50 states to rate their quality of life according to several measures.
These include emotional and physical health, work environment, overall satisfaction with your local community, and access to things like decent health care, a safe neighborhood, and outdoor exercise.
And according to these basic measures, where do you think Massachusetts ended up?
Well, not number one.
Apparently the Bay State doesn't have enough sun, beach, or waves.
Hawaii, on the other hand, has plenty, and according to the survey, that state has the highest level of overall well-being.
And number two?
Wyoming?
Well, you know, once you see those mountains, it makes no sense, maybe. But what about Massachusetts?
Well, it turns out we don't even make the top 10.
But we come close. Number 11.
That's right. We're number 11. We're number 11. Not exactly a state motto worth adopting.
But still, I see it as one, as two ones put together. I'll call it a double first. But things seriously could be a lot worse here.
It's true. We're a long way from the very bottom of that well-being index.
The survey found that states with the biggest fiscal problems that have led to lots of layoffs and salary cuts, sensibly and makes sense, I guess, score at the very bottom of the well-being index.
Which help explains why the state with the lowest level of overall well-being these days is Michigan.
So here's to the Bay State making do with number 11.
And a wish for better times ahead for Michigan. Go Blue.
Next time on Radio Boston, PAX East, the big video gaming industry conference, comes to the Boston Convention and Exhibition Center this weekend. So tomorrow, we'll ask you to put down those Angry Birds for just a minute and listen to Jane McGonigal, who says that Farmville or World of Warcraft, all those games you and your kids are playing, could actually lead to positive things, like an end to poverty and solutions to climate change.
Really? I need to brush up on my video gaming skills, clearly.
Anthony, you got to put down that iPhone for a second. Tomorrow, we'll let Jane McGonigal make her best case for gamers.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at Boston.com.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks.
Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.